Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. I'm your host, Em Robertson, and I'm so stoked that you're tuning in. As usual, Trail Culture wouldn't be happening without the help and continued support of Carbon Endurance, a product distribution house that has all your training and racing needs covered. For those who are taking on big training blocks in this heat, Carbon Endurance offers guidance on heat training and has amazing options for recovery in their Pillar Performance product range. All of this is rooted in science, it's the real deal, and their team knows their stuff. All of the info is in the show notes for you guys to check out more. I hope you all enjoy the episode, and I'll be back here next week with the next one. Cool. Guys, welcome back to another episode of Trail Culture. We are back with season two, and this week I am stoked to welcome a local legend in the trail community, a Hoka athlete, and this guy's quickly becoming a household name in the trail world after some really solid performances last year. He can be found at the start of some of the toughest ultras or training alongside Matt Bouch, who's a longtime friend of the Trail Culture podcast. And today, Sky's going to share a little bit of his insights into his recent race performances, his consistency, juggling the family, training, life. I always love hearing a little bit about that. And yeah, so I'm super stoked to welcome Sky Clark to the podcast today. Thanks for your time, Sky. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I feel like you're also someone who's been like, when is the next season of Trail Culture coming out? You've been listening. I am so thankful for that. And it's just good to finally get to chat to you. And I think to start off, Sky, just we love like an overall kind of bigger picture of who are you? How did you get into trail running and into the sport?
Yeah, thanks, Em. So It wasn't a quick transition into running. I was never really a runner at school, but I grew up in KZN in Durban, so originally from there. And yeah, my parents, who are still in our family home in Kloof, so top of Fields Hill. So if anyone knows the Comrades route, it's a crux either direction. So I just basically grew up supporting Comrades and watching Comrades. So that was kind of my first introduction really to running, but never really had the ambition to do it. I think later on in life, as I started getting into more running, I felt like as a Durbanite, it was a rite of passage to run Comrades. But yeah, I think at school wasn't much of a runner. I've got very vivid memories of doing an inter-schools cross-country race. And yeah, hated every minute of it. Came second to last. Didn't want to run ever again.
No,
so yeah, I think outside of just the team sports, I didn't do too much running. And then yeah, moved to Cape Town in 2012 to do my postgraduate diploma. And yeah, I was living in Rondebosch at the time. And then my now wife, we were living together in Rondebosch, and yeah, just started doing a bit of running around the neighborhood just to keep fit. Nothing too serious. I got a pair of trail shoes and started moving into running into Newlands Forest and yeah, just exploring that a little bit more. Yeah, and then really just kind of progressed from there. I think I signed up for my first trail race, which was a Dirtopia 9-kilometer race in one of the Winelands.
Classic, nice.
I don't know if this still happen actually, but I think everyone that really started out in the trail space has done one of those in the past. But I remember I had my Osprey hydration pack on with a 2-liter bladder in the back and a couple of goo gels for my 9-kilometer race. So yeah, that's where it all started. Just kind of progressed from there.
That is so cool. At least you had some nutrition with you. We have like a mix of stories of people who go out for like a long trail run and like with a road background, they're not used to kind of eating or taking anything with, and they've got into sticky situations. So that's great. And Sky, like starting with the kind of the 9K Dirtopia, and like I think it sounds like you enjoyed just like being active and kind of doing some training, and how did, I know you are typically strong over like your ultra distance, so kind of your 75Ks, 100Ks even. And I think a lot of people have questions about, you know, like, how do you get to that place or figure out like, oh, like an ultra is my kind of strong suit. So yeah, when was your first kind of, when did you take the leap and sign up for an ultra, and what did that kind of journey look like?
Yeah, so as I said, kind of started running a bit more in 2013 and just getting into it a bit more then, and without very much structure to it at that point. So probably ran for about 4 or 5 years with very little structure, just plodding along, just trying to keep fit. Everything was probably under the half marathon distance at that point. And then it was 2018 was my first, and I think that was it. I did a half marathon in, I think, 2017 or something. It was on one of the wine farms here in Constantia area. So it was a bit of road, a bit of trail, a half marathon. And then it was like, okay, well, what's next? So
yeah,
take the step up. And I kind of had a love for the trail running side of it at that point. So 2018, I was doing still a bit of road, bit of trail. Did my first road marathon, first trail marathon, and then road ultra and trail ultra all in 2018. So it all kind of ramped up very, very quickly.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the same story that a lot of people have. It's like you just go all in on the big distances, which I think in hindsight, I probably would have preferred to spend a little bit more time on the shorter stuff and just getting quicker in that shorter distance stuff before taking the big jump. But yeah, it's 2018 was the first proper year that I had some structure in training and then doing ultras at that point. Yeah.
Okay, nice. And any like issues kind of injuries wise physically, like in that transition, were you paying any kind of specific school fees, or do you think with your kind of years of training before that paid off and you had like a good base going in?
Yeah, nothing drastic at that point. I think it was a bit too soon to get too many overuse injuries, although I'd ramped up quite quickly. But yeah, nothing really that springs to mind. I think at the time I was doing a lot of functional training at that point as well, so a bit of strength stuff, which probably aided in keeping the injuries away. But yeah, nothing. The injuries have come kind of later in the running career.
Yeah, yeah. As you get kind of more competitive over those ultra distances, and I know like we're going to chat a little bit more about the specifics of your races a bit later, but I think you've got a very like diverse race experience, Guy. I want you're a hard guy to find info on. In my research, I was like, man, Sky is just kind of keeps to himself and does his thing. But how are you like picking and choosing your races at this stage? Do you are there like specific kind of routes that you want to do, or like experiences you want to have, or are you kind of just going with like where competition is strong? Yeah, what is that looking like kind of last year and this year when you make your choice?
Yeah, I think for me the 100K distance has always appealed to me, that round number, and it's quite a scary number to look at. So I think the 100K races have always really sprung out to me, and I think that's kind of what I look forward to or look to. But it's also, and I think the first time I ran UTD was a good example, was I wanted to do, and I still do, want to do races that are challenging and in areas that I potentially haven't run before. So something that's appealing. And I think that's also what's really important when you start picking races, is you need to want to run that race, and you want to, and actually want to be in that area and that space. So, and that's kind of what's drawn me to making those race selections. So, yeah, really just being in different places, traveling to cool locations, and having a different challenge.
Okay, awesome. And Sky, I think you had, I mean, again, we're going to chat about some of your results from last year, but something that I saw is that you had such a strong run at UTMB. I think it was 2 years ago. Was that the first time you'd run on international soil? And like, yeah, chat to us a little bit about like what drew you. And I mean, I think I've seen a lot of people go and race it, and it's more like, oh, I'm going for the experience. And maybe you did, and you didn't have kind of intentions to race hard, but it really like super respectable time on that course. I was like, wow, like, how did I not kind of know about this before? So yeah, how did you find yourself on the UTMB start line?
Yeah, actually, it was just, so it was 2022. So a good friend of mine, Andrew Pretorius, who was probably one of the guys that kind of got me into the ultra running space. I remember supporting him at PAP for 1 year and just being like, wow, I can't believe people run this distance and what a cool race. And I want to get involved in this. So him and I have done a lot of runs together, and we've run UTCT 65 a couple of times together. So he said to me in 2022, he was going to throw his name in the hat for CCC. And we had Stones from, and I think at that time it was before the UTMB Stones system changed, where you could only get them from UTMB races.
Yes.
So we had Stones from the UTCT 100K from the year before. So we were like, well, let's throw our names in the hat and hope for the best. I had very little confidence that we would get in. And we actually both ended up getting selected out of the lottery. So my son was born on the 6th of January 2023. 2023 was not supposed to be a year of running, because it was supposed to be full-time parented. But yeah, so Jan the 6th, my son was born. The 10th of January was the UTMB lottery. We both got, my mate Andrew and I got pulled in the lottery. And I said to my wife Vicky, I was like, so do you feel like a holiday to France in September? So yeah, we had to make the decision quite quickly to get to pay for the entry. So that's how we ended up there. It was always going to be, I think, a struggle to get there, because I wasn't sure how much training I was going to be able to fit in. I think I very luckily have a very supportive wife, so I was able to, and luckily a baby that slept and fed really well, so that did make it a bit easier. And I think I think going back to your original question, it was my first international race. I think everyone sees the hype of UTMB, so it was really cool to be there. And I think that what made it more special was having my wife and my son there as well. So he was about 9 months old, just under 9 months old when we went over there. And yeah, just such a cool experience and very family oriented as well. So I think it ended up being an awesome experience for us as a family, not just for myself running the race. So, and just an unbelievable place to be and to run.
And how would you say, Sky, like that kind of atmosphere or like style of racing compares to running in South Africa? I think, not to hype only UTMB, like there's a ton of great like international races, but I mean, that is like one of the, it's like, yeah, the Super Bowl of trail running, I think, in a lot of ways. And I know people are curious and every year are kind of putting their names into the hat and hoping to get drawn. So, yeah, in comparison to South Africa, did you find it quite different, like from kind of vibe and atmosphere all the way to the course? Was it what you expected?
Yeah, it was very much what I expected. And my expectations were quite high at that point. I think the whole atmosphere and the vibe in Chamonix is unbelievable. It's hard to, and I've said it to so many people, it's hard to actually put it in words, and also pictures of the mountain range there just doesn't do it justice. You actually have to be there to experience it. I think the vibe is amazing. I think in South Africa, we've got races here that have equally as good vibe. I mean, I just think of UTCT and just what's been built around that. It's unbelievable. The vibe is amazing in Chamonix. The racing is very different. I think we don't have the mountains here in the Western Cape that can really fully prepare you for what you get in the Alps there. It's truly, I think there's not enough. I spent a lot of time training in Montrachel, just doing the climb up to Paardekop from Franschhoek Town, trying to get as much elevation in as I could in a short space of time. But I think the one thing that I neglected a bit in training was just the amount of descent that you actually get in the race. So I think if I did it again, I would probably do a lot more downhill specific running and just loading the quads. I think doing a 5K down Constantia Neck is more regularly would probably be beneficial in the long term. But yeah, I think the terrain is just so different there. Very runnable, not as technical as here. A lot of our climbs in the Western Cape are a lot of steps. So if you think of going up Platteklip or up Devil's Peak, you're going up a lot of steps. Whereas in Chamonix, you basically just have runnable climbs. Although steep, you're not necessarily running the whole time, but it's free flowing and it's a very different type of running. But yeah.
Yeah, I think those highway trails, I mean, if you just look at like the course records on those things, like there are people who run the whole way pretty much.
Yeah.
And, like, if not run, like their hiking speed is probably faster than most of us can run. But quick side note or caveat, Sky, you mentioned the 5K Constantia downhill. I don't know what route it is, but another friend of the podcast, Pietrus de Klerk from the Mountain Men, seems to be trying to steal some segment from you locally. Like, can you just loop us into like what's going on there? I just see these videos every now and again. I don't know if he's had success. I think he was a couple of seconds off last time I checked, but yeah, what's going on the Strava side?
Yeah, Pietrus is great. We actually met doing a recce for Three Peaks the 1 year. I set off on my own the one morning, and I bumped into him and a bunch of the other mountain men, and we ended up just running a bit of it together. So, yeah, and kind of kept in contact since then. But it's actually the 5K route is a 5K climb out of Camps Bay, so from Glen Beach up the now closed Cliff Road, and then up Lion's Head. So it's actually a flat rock endurance 5K time trial hill. So I think Pietrus has been trying to grab that from me for the last few weeks. So I'm sure he'll get it at some point, and I keep telling him that we should go and do it together again. But yeah, we'll see.
Oh, that's epic. I love that little friendly competition. Yeah, I just see he posts these videos and I'm like, this is so good. Yeah, I love that like community aspect. But any case, back to the 100K training. Sky, you mentioned like you became a dad, you're training for this like 100K race. It's a big trip, and like I think it sounds like there was a lot riding on it. And I mean, you had very like strong racing at UTCT as well. And I think so, like, to train for a first, I mean, to go sub 16, sub 15 hours on 100K, I think is quite different to running to finish. And kind of general themes of like, what did it take for you to kind of get to that place to be racing at that level? Did you come into it kind of already with your base and kind of the fitness and the talent, and you were running similar times, or have you kind of been knocking down the times over the years?
Yeah, I think the aim has been to try and knock down the time over the years. I think it obviously depends on the routes and the races that you're doing. And so if I think back to the first 100K I did, which was Ultra Trail Cape Town in 2021, I think it was, there was always that goal of the Originals medal, which is the sub 15 hour.
Yeah.
And that UTCT 100K had always scared me because of the 17-hour cutoff that it had prior to the change to 24 hours. And then when they changed the cutoff to 24 hours, then that was when I decided to jump into that race. I think the 15-hour cutoff, sorry, 15-hour originals medal was an original goal of mine going into my first 100K. And I think working with I run with Flat Rock Endurance. So Aaron is my coach and has been for a few years now. And I think just I've learned a lot on him for where he feels I could land on those distances. So I think using his confidence in me and built my own confidence to feel like I could go for that time. And then yeah, I think CCC for me was really just I had a sub 16 hour goal in mind, but it was really just I wanted to go there and experience. That was more go there and finish the race and just have the full UTMB experience. And it was racing. And if I could go under 16 hours, which was the goal, then that would be the cherry on top. So yeah, I was happy with the outcome there. But it's really been, yeah, just working closely with Aaron and just using his experience and guidance on where he feels I can land. And then also just, yeah, in general kind of confidence in your own ability.
Yeah. I think that was something I realized. And even like the name of this episode, I've been going back and forth in my mind, and like something that came, very quickly became apparent to me was consistency. Because I think in the notes initially, I was like, yeah, Sky Clark, like he's taken the racing scene by storm. And I think you have, you've had like specifically last year, super strong results, and even the year before actually. But as I was kind of piecing this together, I was like, wait, this guy's been like showing up and like, I think you've had continuity in your racing and training, which is like the biggest thing, right? It's like you don't want to have a flash in the pan performance and then be injured. And so I think that's been really cool for me to see, is like you've managed to stay the course and like keep chipping away and like kind of keep looping back and improving on previous times and things. And we're going to chat about it a bit more, but just like in your race experiences, Sky, like your 100K UTD, I want to kind of dial it back to that. And you managed to like run yourself onto the podium. Can you take us like through a little bit of what it took to toe that start line? I mean, KZN local, very special to go and run there. And like, yeah, any issues with altitude as well? I actually wanted to ask you that for your lap around UTMB, kind of the more little nitty gritty details of the race. Like let's start there. UTD 100.
Yeah. Yeah, so I ran UTD 100K in 2022 for the first time, and that was my first race at altitude, which I was nervous about, and I did struggle with the altitude at that point. Not so much. There was no vomiting and major stomach issues, but I did struggle to get food down. Nutrition was very far from my mind at that point in time. I didn't have that really as a key priority going into races. So it was kind of just going with a bit of what I'd used in training, which wasn't really too structured at that point. So I struggled with altitude there. And then that was also a worry going to CCC. How was I going to cope with that, knowing that I'd struggled with it in the past? I think the contrast between those two races is I had the nutrition a bit more dialed in and understood what I was trying to do a bit better there. And I didn't struggle with the altitude at CCC. It just, I was able to keep that at bay. Going into UTD last year, that was, I wasn't too concerned then about altitude. I think it was, I'd felt like I'd had that kind of covered, having raced at altitude a few times before. And again, at that point, my nutrition was a lot better than where it was prior to that. So, that was also the route change for UTD was also a bit more beneficial, because you stayed at a lower altitude for longer, and then you did the Sarnie climb much later in the race as opposed to right at the beginning. So that, exactly. So that helped a lot. That Ultra Trail Drakensberg is a special race, and Drakensberg is a special place. I'll always try, and every year I have the opportunity, I'll try and get there. Not this year, unfortunately, with the second baby around the corner, but hopefully next year.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. And Sky, I mean, from you had like a good run. I mean, you had, okay, so three years ago, you had like your UTD and UTMB, and then you've got like UTCT 100K that you've done running, and then last year running, being on the podium at UTD 100K, and then going on to win the Maxi Race 75 as well, which I do want to ask you a bit about that race. But you mentioned nutrition now, and I think I've seen a little bit on your Instagram stories and just like that you've been sharing a little bit of that journey. And you mentioned that you weren't kind of dialed in or focused on it when you were initially taking on that distance. But yeah, how has that changed for you? I mean, from the Osprey pack and the couple of goos from a 9K, like, can you chat to us a little bit about that journey and what you've tried and changed and tested?
Yeah, I've used a, I've gone through a couple of brands, different approaches, liquid carbs versus the gels versus a bit more real food. And I think I've found what works for me the best now, which is predominantly through gels. So yeah, I've been working with John from Precision Fuel and Hydration for a few months now, actually just before Maxi Race. So it was quite probably a bit of a risk taking on a new nutrition brand so close to a race, but I did do a bit of training with it beforehand. And actually, funnily enough, in a few years back, I think it was 2021, my parents were looking for a birthday present for me and stumbled across Carbon Endurance's website and ordered me some Precision Fuel and Hydration gels. Yeah. Funny story. And then yeah, so I've been using Precision now since Maxi Race, and yeah, I did the sweat test just before that. So yeah, didn't have a chance to do that was more the sodium loss test, and I didn't have a chance really to do the actual sweat testing before the race. So I've done that subsequently, but it was really just getting an idea of what my sodium loss was, and then was able to try and hit those numbers a bit better in Maxi. And yeah, so I've really found what works well for me, which is the gels. And yeah. So Maxi and Ultra Trail Cape Town, all of those races have really just been purely on gels. Yeah. No real food. Yeah. And yeah, I've got my stomach can handle a lot of gels. Okay. And yeah, I haven't had any issues with it.
And I think that was my next question. Like, was that again, paying school fees process? I think some people you're running and like after 7-8 hours in, everything changes and your body's just like, I can't do more gels. But it sounds like you were quite dialed in with knowing results of your sweat tests. And I remember I was standing at the Maxi Race finish line and you came running in, and there's somebody in the vicinity was like, that guy looks like he just ran the park run. Like, you were smiling, happy, like very relaxed kind of coming in. And I think having your nutrition like work, I think is probably just like a joy in a long distance like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've always had this issue of hitting a bit of a wall, especially in the 100K distance at around 70, 80Ks, where I then struggle to get food down. Not detrimental to the race necessarily, but it's just been a struggle to eat regularly. And Maxi was just one of those races where everything just worked incredibly well. I was able to keep food down, eat regularly. I suppose it may have helped having cooler conditions, because it was a little bit easier to get stuff down. But then we had a hot day at Ultra Trail Cape Town last year, and had the same thing. I was able to hit the carb numbers that I wanted and get in the sodium, and yeah, didn't have any issues at all.
Nice.
Yeah. I seem to, my wife tells me that I've got a stomach of steel, because I can eat anything and everything at the same time and not feel sick. So,
Sky, that's like every ultra runner's dream. It's like, can eat anything and everything at any time. I think that's great.
Yeah. I'm sure my time will come for a bonk at some point, but
you're going to ride the wave for as long as you can.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely. Yeah.
And Sky, with rounding out UTCT last year, I think I, in a chat with Matt Bouch, it seemed like the plan was that you were going to pace him on the miler at a stage, and then you were like, wait, I've got, my training's going really well, like, do you mind if I kind of tackle the 100K? And then you then came 14th overall in a very stacked field. I think every year UTCT, just as it's growing, is drawing like a massive international field, and like competition is high. And do you find, Sky, that like, does anything change for you when you're racing in such a strong field like that? I think I've got a couple of questions from like strategy and training, but also just like when you toe the start line and you're looking around and you're like, wow, you know, I'm rubbing shoulders with people who are kind of top of their game. Like, how does that play into your race experience?
Yeah, I think it for me, it didn't really influence how I approached the race at all. I mean, I think the for me it was a goal time in mind that I had, because I'd run that same course a few years ago. It was, can I go and better my time on that route? Nice. So that was really the first goal, was try and go quicker than I did the year before. But I also knew that there would probably be some strong South Africans in the race as well. So I was quite keen to see how I could fare against them in on the same day, whereas I haven't necessarily had the opportunity to race a lot of them in the past. I raced with Ollie Morris at UTD the year before, but never raced really Kyle Bucklow or Brandon Hulley in any previous races. So it was nice to kind of toe the line with those guys, and I didn't worry too much about the Europeans and the other internationals. It was more just about, could I do well in the South African contingent and just go faster than I had in previous years? Yeah.
Nice. And
and just have a good day at the end of the day.
Yeah. UTCT is such every year. I sound like a broken record with this, and people have got different stories with that race. And I think there is something about being a Cape Town local and running that race. I think for you guys, it's special to be like, I'm racing on my backyard trails and watching people experience it for the first time. And is definitely something special about the weekend.
Just for the record, I do feel bad for dropping Matt on the pacing duties, but he seemed to still do pretty well on the race day, and he had some good paces take my place. So I don't feel too bad.
No, I love your guys like bromance almost, if I can say that. There's like you guys running and training together is so cool for me. Another little rabbit trail, Sky, how did you and Matt meet? Have you been friends for some time? Did you kind of connect through the trail running world?
Yeah, definitely through the trail running world. I remember the first time I met Matt, it was the week before Ultra Trail Drakensberg 2022. So I think that was his first 100K race as well. And Flat Rock had a group run. It was actually the week that everyone was flying up to UTD, and Aaron and I think Tony at the time as well had decided that we would do this run at Lion's Head, and they called it a threshold sandwich. So we would do, I think it was 10 by 200 meter hill sprints, and then straight into a 4K threshold run on the it wasn't on the road, but it was on like the flat part of the contour. And then you were supposed to come back and do another 10 200s, but I think we just finished off with the threshold. And I remember Matt was lying on the floor, and he had really, really pushed it, and I was like, what is this guy doing? He's like pushing himself to the brink. But he was really, and I think that's when I first realized that he was a really strong runner at that point. And then that was when I first met him, and then we touched base a bit at UTD a few days later. That was when it was on the old route where you started with the Sani Pass climb.
Yes.
And he just came cruising past me, and I never saw him again. just from there, I think with having similar races in the calendar, we live pretty close to each other as well, and it was just easy to link up for long runs, and we've just kind of picked it up from there.
Nice. And both of you guys strike me as like, I think you love the sport, but you've both got like quite an analytical side to you in terms of like training logs and how you're processing things, like working on your nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. And do you guys kind of like back and forth a lot on those things? Are you kind of helping each other tweak your plans and try new things?
Yeah, I mean, I think we spend a lot of time on the long runs and training runs kind of speaking about whether it's nutrition or training philosophy. A lot of that type of thing. So yeah, really bouncing ideas off each other. That's not the majority of what we chat about when we run. It's usually very lighthearted stuff. But yeah, we do definitely get into a bit of the analytical stuff. But I think we both enjoy that a lot. So it's quite an easy like kind of common ground to chat about.
Yeah. That's so cool. I think having, if you're going to go for these distances, like having a training buddy and somebody that you can spend long hours in the mountain with is essential. I think doing all of this alone would be a little bit rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sky, back to UTCT last year. So, I mean, it sounds like training was going well. You had a great race on the day. Hot, like classic Cape Town, like hot conditions. Highlights and lowlights of the race. Yeah, I mean, I think as we've been chatting, it sounds like you just like cruise through these 100Ks, like no gut issues, like just managing to show up with kids at home, etc. But yeah, did you have a low point at the race? I mean, if you didn't, that's great. But yeah, how do you kind of go through the ups and downs of 100K?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have low points, although you always, I can't remember the book that it was that I read it from, but there's a rule called the peak end rule where you remember the best of something and then you remember the finish. You don't really remember much in between that. But I think when you go into the nitty gritty and you really like analyze the race, there's definitely moments that you struggle and moments where things feel effortless at times. So I definitely had a low point. I think I was silly not to change shoes in Heart Bay.
Okay.
I probably should have switched shoes there and just changed socks and just got fresh out of Heart Bay. There was, for some reason, a hell of a lot of water gushing down Flakenberg, which was unusual. I think one of the farms had opened up something and there was a lot of water coming down there. So I struggled with, my feet just got really beat up. And that was tough, like kind of mentally and physically just to get through. So it just started getting harder and harder. And by the time I got to the Elfin and then to UCT, it was probably too late to change at that point. So I just stuck with what I had, but that was tough. Yeah, but no stomach issues at that point. But yeah, the heat was a big worry for me. I thought, because with the time that I have in training, I do most of my training early in the morning before it's warm. So
yeah,
didn't do any heat training at all for UTCT. So that was a worry going into it. But I was able to manage it through a lot of ice and water. Yeah, but the low light would have definitely been the foot issues. Not changing shoes and socks. Yeah.
And do you feel like, Sky, I mean, you've done UTCT a couple of times. Like, is there still something left on that race or route that you feel like you have unfinished business or something you still want to achieve? Or would you start looking to something like tackling the miler or going the other way and seeing if you can set up kind of a faster time on one of the other different distances? Like how do you, how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I think I wasn't too far off going under 13 hours. So that would be quite a cool goal to go for on that 100K route. But yeah, I don't know if the UTCT miler appeals to me, but it's certainly something I would like to do at some point as 100 miles. I'm not sure which one or when, but yeah, that definitely appeals to me. But I think in the short term, I'll be focusing probably on slightly shorter distance stuff just from a time perspective. But yeah. So maybe a UTCT 55K or something like that's it's not off the cards, but I do really enjoy that 100K distance.
Nice.
I might not go back to UTCT 100K anytime soon, just so that I have done it three times now, but so it might be time to switch it up a bit. But yeah, maybe a shorter distance or longer.
Sky, on that your race calendar this year, what's it looking like? I know there's been you must feel like a sense of deja vu, like, oh, I'm doing maxi race and I feel like I've just done maxi race because of the date change, which is going to be interesting. But is kind of the calendar looking for you this year? I know you are, baby number two is on the way, so I'm sure you have like a high level of adaptability as you're approaching this. But what's kind of laid out right now?
Yeah, not too much, to be honest. Nothing's really set in stone besides I'm going to do the Maxi 45. So that's the plan. But that's the only real thing in the calendar. Our baby's due on the same weekend as Pass to Pass. So there's a very strong likelihood that I won't be there. That is a Hoka event. So I would like to show face, but it's probably looking unlikely at this point.
No.
I think I'm really just going to take it as it comes to see how the training goes with the second baby. And I would love to get to Mutt again. If I can, that would be amazing. But it's all going to come down to, if I can get some training in and if I feel like I've got enough in me to get there. But yeah, that's kind of the first half of the year. And yeah, if I can train consistently, we'll start looking at some races towards the back end of the year. I missed out on Puffer last year due to injury, so I wouldn't mind trying to give that a bash if I can. But nothing cemented at this point, so it's very much up in the air. Yeah,
this could be your baby number two. This could be like your sleep deprivation training that could lead to a miler or something. You know, I'm interested to see where it goes. But Sky, I know that consistency is something we've spoken about. I've alluded to. I've kept talking about it. But it really feels like that again. That's like something I've seen in like years of training are paying off, and you're able to kind of push in certain areas that and like test things that I think can only happen if you've put in like the scut work to get to that point. And you mentioned now like you had an injury that kept you from Puffer, and even just like the dynamics of balancing family and training and work, I think that's a real thing. How have you managed to kind of stay consistent and motivated? Do you feel like you've had significant dips that you've been like, oh, I could walk away from the sport? Or are you kind of just like have that kind of intrinsic drive and you haven't really struggled? What's that been like?
Yeah, I think I haven't really had that moment of wanting to step away from the sport at all. I think it's I have a deep love for running, and as much as possible, I want to get out there on a daily basis. It's something I really enjoy. It is tough from time to time juggling a 9-to-5 corporate job and family, because you want to be everywhere at the same time, but you can't. So it's certainly, I wouldn't call it balance, because I don't think there is balance, because you're always leaning towards something a little bit more than the other. So that is tough to strike. But I think I enjoy just getting out there and really enjoy running and want to be out there as much as I can.
Mm.
Yeah.
And injury last year, what were you kind of working through, Sky? Did it keep you out for quite a while, or did you manage to bounce back pretty quickly?
It was an ankle. My ankle, I twisted my ankle, which I'm prone to in my left ankle. It kept me out of Comrades in 2022, and I rolled it again not too long after UTD last year, actually. So I was out for about 2 months, but I was a little bit more conservative with the rehab than I had been in previous years. I ended up getting an indoor bike and actually quite enjoyed spending some time on the indoor trainer. It was also winter at the time, so whilst it was horrendous weather outside, I was able to stay indoors on the bike. So yeah, that kept me out. I just rehabbed it quite a bit and spent a lot of time on the bike, and then was keen to get back into the running. And then Maxi was my first race back after missing Puffer.
Okay, and then no issues since then?
No, nothing yet, touch wood.
Touch wood, I love it.
Yeah.
And Sky, I know, like, just the family, the 9-to-5. Number one, you mentioned you in like corporate world, but what exactly do you do? This is like one of my favorite things, because people are like, oh, he's like a full time athlete, or she's this is what she does, and then they find out so and so is like an accountant or a doctor, and it's like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I've been working for the same company for almost 12 years now, and it's in the real estate technology space, or prop tech, as it's called. So, I run the sales and client experience division for Africa and South Africa, and we basically build software for the real estate industry globally. Wow.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
You see, I'm like, I love all like these little nuggets that we learn. And Sky, advice for those out there who are doing the family training work kind of juggle. And I think, again, this is not a normal juggle. I think when you go to these ultra distances, like the amount of time that you need to spend training does ramp up pretty quickly. And as you mentioned now, like you want to be everywhere at the same time. So yeah, any advice or like encouragement for those who are kind of trying to get that right?
Yeah, find yourself a very supportive partner. that is key. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of truth in that. I think I certainly wouldn't be able to do the amount of training that I do without having a very supportive wife. So I think she puts up with a lot, allowing me to go out and run long runs on the weekends. I think that's really where the ultras hit hard, is the weekend long runs. The week is okay because you're not getting out for much more than an hour if you're doing a workout or an easy run. It's really the weekends that are tough, and that's a lot of family time that you potentially miss out on. So I try and get out as early as possible as I can in the mornings, on the weekends, and so that I'm back home as early as possible, so I can spend the rest of the day with the family. But yeah, I think it's supportive partner. You've also got to want to run and run the races, right? I think for me, it's that motivation of getting out the door every day is not only from a fitness and a well-being perspective, but it's also if you've got a race goal in mind and you want to achieve that, you need to get out of bed and go and get it done. So
yeah,
that's kind of what keeps me going. But I think it's juggling it all, it comes with its challenges, but it's not impossible. I think if you want something bad enough, you'll make the time to do it.
Yeah. And Sky, on the adaptability side of things, like what are the kind of the rhythms or the things that you, or structures that you lean on when you're trying to be adaptable? Like, are you, like, to go very practical, like, would you split a session up into like two shorter sessions? Are you of the mindset like, you know, 15 minutes is better than 0 minutes? Is it a case of like, I'm going to call it for today and see what I can do tomorrow? Like, where do you typically land when you're kind of having to make changes?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's tough for me because I'm a very structured, analytical person. If I don't get that green box on Training Peaks, it's
yeah,
it does play with my mind sometimes. And I think I'm still learning that process of being adaptable in that sense. I think certainly something is better than nothing is a good approach. But I'm still trying to juggle with that idea, because if it's in the program and I'm not doing it, then I'm missing out on it. And I do need to be a little bit more flexible there. But I think that will come with time, but I need to be a bit more intentional about it. But yeah, I think you kind of have to take things as it comes. I think it's like anyone with that comes across injury, it's a setback. You need to figure out how you get around that. Find something else that you enjoy that you can still keep active. Getting out the door for a walk or a 30-minute run is better than nothing. It's just, as long as you can frame it correctly for yourself, I think that's where it adds the most value.
Nice. And I think, Sky, you mentioned now that you with Flat Rock Endurance and you've worked with Aaron, another like amazing previous guest on the podcast. He is well respected, and I feel like I learn something from him every time we have a conversation. And like with the kind of years of coaching as well, working with the same coach, can you give us like just a bit of insight into how that has been as a learning process for you? Like, do you feel like year in, year out, you're just kind of learning more about training and nutrition? And like, is there something, I guess what I'm asking, is there something new for you every year in this like coaching process?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've learned so much from Aaron, and as you said, I mean, whenever I interact with him and we chat, he drops these pearls of wisdom all the time, that just these truth bombs that are really really interesting. And I think what I've learned from him over the years is that training doesn't have to be incredibly complex to be beneficial. And I think Aaron will probably be the first person. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but he'll be the first person to say that you don't need to do too much drastic stuff to get a lot of benefit out of training. If you keep it simple and you stick to certain fundamentals, I think that's you can get a lot of value out of that. And there's been tweaks and changes to my training over the years as I've been able to take on more volume or different speed bands that I've worked in, that type of thing. That's kind of where it's evolved. But I think the crux and fundamentals of it hasn't changed very much. But I still learn a lot about myself and Aaron's style of coaching on a monthly basis as I chip through the programs.
That's so cool. Sky, I think that's like a wrestle for kind of the coach-athlete relationship. Often is like you want to keep the athlete like stimulated and interested, but at the end of the day, like, you know, there's only so many ways to cut a cake when it comes to training. And it's like the basics and the essentials are the basics and the essentials for a reason. You know, that's like the bedrock of ultra training. And I think most of the time you have to be willing to kind of put in the slog, and then maybe once in a while you'll have like a power workout that's fun and different. But ultimately it's like if you, you know, it's only fun and different if you've managed to put in kind of all those hours. And Sky, just to kind of start rounding out, I know this year is looking a little bit uncertain just with family things of what's next for you, but what is like the ultimate trail running dream? Like, do you have an event that's like still in your, I mean, I know you've done UTMB, but is there another event that you want to do? Is there like some sort of FKT or route or adventure that you would want to go on? What is the ultimate dream?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think the one that probably sticks at the top is Western States. I think I'd love to,
nice.
I'd love to get there at some point. That was actually part of the reason why I did UTD last year, was to get an entry into the lottery for Western States. So that was part of the reason, not only because I wanted to go back, but it was also a draw card. And then, luckily doing UTCT 100K last year, that also then affords me the opportunity to get into the lottery again at the end of this year for the following year. So Western States is definitely up there with the race that I'd love to do. I think some of the others are, I mean, I'd love to do the full lap around Mont Blanc maybe at some point. I mean, even just locally here, 13 Peaks maybe. I haven't done a one day 13 Peaks, so maybe that on the cards at some point. So yeah, there's still so much that I'd love to do. It's just finding the right time to do it.
Yeah, that's epic. There's a long career still ahead of you, Sky, and I'm excited that we get to watch and see and watch you get to those milestones. And just before we let you go, Sky, a little outro question. And we have had some varying answers to this, but it is, what is something that you've read recently that inspired you?
Yeah, I think I haven't had a lot of time to read read books. Yeah,
the parents are always like, what do you mean?
The parenting and running and work life. But I think something I read recently, I mean, if you follow Steve Magnus on Instagram, he's always posting some interesting stuff. But I think the one thing that really like resonated with me was he spoke about over-identification. So the dangers of over-identifying with something in particular and the dangers that has. And I think that was quite important for me to realize that you don't want to be known as just Sky the runner. You should have kind of a full balance around your life, and not being associated to one thing in particular, because if that thing's not there any longer, or for example, if it's running and you're injured, you don't have a focus on something else that keeps you happy. So I think that was quite interesting to read, because it's just a reminder that you need to have that all round kind of focus on yeah. everything, instead of yeah. just a hyper focus on one thing, because it can be detrimental.
Yeah, that's great, yeah. Sky. I think it sounds like you've got that, or at least you're working towards that, which is great. And I'm excited to see how Maxi Race 45 goes down for you in a couple of weeks. I mean, yeah, that countdown, that's just around the corner. Yeah. And then from there, I guess it's watching your guys' family grow, and then seeing, you know, what the rest of the year holds. But I appreciate your time, Sky. I am excited to see kind of what the season looks like. And I will hopefully see you at one of the races in the not so distant future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Emma. Really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Awesome.
There you have it, folks. A great conversation with Sky Clark. Consistency always wins. I am so excited to see how the rest of his race here pans out, how he adapts to the shorter distances and juggles the dad life with their newest family addition joining them in the next couple of weeks. I hope you all enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you back here next week for our next one.